Tonight, first of all, acknowledging that we need you in this service and acknowledging, Lord, that if you don't show up, then as we said this morning, nothing of eternal value will be accomplished. And so we come to you and we ask you to be a part of this service tonight. We ask you to control everything that goes on. We ask you to bless the music. Bless Mountain Gospel as they sing after a while. God, would you anoint their singing. God, would you bless Brother Terry tonight as he brings a message to our hearts. And God, we pray that you would anoint the message and anoint him as he speaks to us. And God, I pray that you would speak to us through him. But our special request tonight is for our pastor. And Lord, I want to ask you right now. God, I don't know if he's still at the hospital. I don't know if he's at home. But wherever he's at, I ask you right now that you would walk into that room wherever he may be. And I ask you to touch his body. You said that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You said that, God, we could call unto you and you would answer us and show us great and mighty things. You said that we have not because we ask not. You said that if we'll abide in you and allow your words to abide in us, that we can ask what we will and it shall be done. The Bible says that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And God, on and on we could go reminding you tonight of your word. And you promised, Lord, you said if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done. And Lord, there's more than two of us here tonight, and we are praying the same thing. God, we want you to touch our pastor tonight. God, we want you to minister to his body. We pray that you would give him a recovering spirit tonight. We are asking you, Lord, that you would take this sickness away, whatever it may be. God, we pray that he would begin to feel better. We are trusting you for this. We are asking you to work in his body and in his life tonight. We are agreeing, Lord, together that is your will. And God, we thank you for the man of God that you've placed here. We thank you for his vision. We thank you for his compassion. We thank you for his heart. We thank you for his love for you and his love for your word. And God, we pray that you would help him tonight. We lift him up to you. We bring him before your throne tonight. And you said we could come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. God, you promised that tonight. God, we're going to believe it. You said whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And God, tonight, we're going to ask for something believing. We're going to ask you to touch our preacher tonight. God, would you help him to recover quickly from this illness and this sickness? We ask you that you'd bless him and help him. Once again, we ask you to bless our service tonight. We'll thank you and praise you for that. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you, folks, for coming down and responding to that. Let's continue to pray for our preacher. Let's all stand back up. We're going to sing some more, and then we'll go on with the rest of the service. Amen.
I stand.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Marvelous, wonderful love of our Lord, something we can truly stand amazed in the presence of. Let me give you a couple of announcements. First of all, as I mentioned this morning, Brother Ken Colquitt is in the hospital, went by and spoke to Miss Jo this afternoon. He had some surgery this morning, came through it very well, and as far as we know is going to be okay. So continue to pray for him. He'll still be in the hospital probably for the majority part of the week. That's Brother Ken Colquitt. He's at ICU at Erlanger. Miss Millie Harris is still at East Ridge. They've put her in a room today from ICU. Continue to pray for her. Brother David Watkins is also at Erlanger, underwent emergency surgery this morning. And Miss Juanita Emmerich is still out at Tri-County, I believe. Is that right, Brother John? Okay. She's out at Hutchison, Tri-County, whatever you want to call it, the hospital down there in Georgia. Amen. So continue to pray for Miss Juanita. Brother John Parks is still over in the hospital also. Continue to remember him in prayer. We've got just several of our folks. Our hospital board over in the office is filled up and with folks and that are going through difficulty and going through problems. And Brother Ken's name may be on there tomorrow. I don't know if they'll keep him overnight or not, but we're just going to trust God to work a miracle there and to do what only he can do, and that's help our preacher. So remember all the folks that are sick, all the folks going through things. Just remember all of them in prayer, if you would. Let's get our ushers ready, and we'll receive the offering. Doing things a little bit different tonight, a little bit different order. So we've got Mountain Gospel here with us. And I'll go ahead and tell you right now, I'm going to enjoy them, and I've never heard them. I just met them a little while ago, but I'll tell you one reason why I'm going to enjoy them. And this is just one of those little things I guess I look for. When groups come in, I always look to see how involved they get in our music service. Because if somebody sits there like a knot on a log while we're singing and praising God, then they get up here and expect us to jump and shout while they sing. But these folks are down here into it just like the rest of us are. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I'm going to enjoy it. I don't care how they sound or anything else. I'm going to enjoy them because they're getting involved in our service. Amen. I appreciate that. And we're glad to have them here with us tonight. They'll be singing in just a few minutes. Brother Roy Phipps, if you would, lead us in prayer for the offering tonight. Thank you.
We will live to the ages by that beautiful tree of life. Wear some glad tomorrow, with thanks I'll stand. I'll put on my crown and I'll walk around all of God's promised land.
Oh, glory,
glory.
Because of God's amazing grace. Now, we're going to let the choir come down. You know amazing grace. If you don't, the words are up here. But this is your opportunity. We just don't stand around at Temple Baptist Church. We get out, go on the balcony, over in the wings, get out, shake hands with everyone around you. I don't care if you're visiting. Make yourself at home. Amazing grace. You may be seated.
Man, we have had a good day in the house of the Lord. Amen. And I tell you what, it's not over with yet. It's good to have Mountain Gospel with us. I'm going to ask them to come now. They're going to take some time and sing, and we'll enjoy the fire out of it. And then Terry's going to come and bring the message tonight. And so I tell you what, this is better than the Super Bowl. I'm enjoying the fire out of tonight, so we may get to watch a little bit of the game, depending on if Terry gets long-winded or not, but we'll, Terry says no, you won't see any of the game. We'll catch the highlights on SportsCenter at 11, amen. It's good to have these folks with us, and we're looking forward to hearing from them, so y'all sing, amen.
Drink living water, feast at the table of a life-giving bread. Pull off your rags and be clothed in a white robe. Come to the banquet that Jesus has spread.
There is a grand invitation for all who will come to salvation. For those who are weakened and weary can enter sweet rest. And Jesus has called you to follow, to turn from your darkness and sorrow, to lay down the burdens that weigh you and be richly blessed.
Come to the banquet, drink living water, and feast at the table of a life-giving bread. Pull off your rags and be clothed in a white robe. Come to the banquet that Jesus has spread.
Heaven has made preparations for the greatest of all celebrations. And Jesus the bridegroom is ready to welcome his bride. And we're living in the last hour before he'll return in great power, when all who've been washed in his blood will be welcomed inside.
Come to the banquet, drink living water, and feast at the table of a life-giving bread. Pull off your rags and be clothed in a white robe. Come to the banquet that Jesus has spread. Come to the banquet, drink living water, and feast at the table of a life-giving bread. Pull off your rags and be clothed in a white robe. Come to the banquet that Jesus has spread. All who are hungry can come and be fed. Come to the banquet that Jesus has spread.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Are you glad to be on your way to heaven? Amen.
Some men build their mansions here made of brick and stone. My heart's set on heaven fair, my eternal home. I'm sending up materials to that land above, looking for a city built by love. I'm climbing toward heaven, a little higher up each day, walking and talking with Jesus along the King's Highway.
I've set my heart on a mansion, they're gonna make it someday. Higher I'm climbing, higher each day. When our Savior went away, he said he'd come again. But he's only coming for the ones made free from sin. Don't let another day go by, just call his name in prayer. Let him get you ready for that meeting in the air. I'm climbing toward heaven, a little higher up each day. Walking and talking with Jesus along the King's highway. I've set my heart on a mansion, they're gonna make it someday. Higher I'm climbing, higher each day. Higher, higher, higher. I'm climbing toward heaven, a little higher up each day. Walking and talking with Jesus along the King's highway. I've set my heart on a mansion, they're gonna make it someday. Higher I'm climbing, higher each day.
Well, we're just tickled to death to be here tonight. We were here about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I believe it was on a Wednesday night. How many of you remember us from that night? So there's quite a few of you who are seeing us for the first time, and we're just pleased to make your acquaintance tonight. And we so much appreciate the opportunity of being able to stop by and to share a little bit of our ministry with you all tonight. We were over in Tuscaloosa, Alabama on Friday night, and we trucked up to Shelbyville, Tennessee on Saturday night. We were in Cullman, Alabama this morning, and then we got on that bus and we drove as hard as we could and got over here tonight. So we're looking forward to getting back over in the hills over there of North Carolina sometime about midnight tonight. But we enjoy it. I always count it a privilege to stand before people and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, the greatest name that's ever been said, the name of Jesus. And let me take just a moment. The name of our group is Mountain Gospel. We're from Silva, North Carolina. That's over close to the Cherokee Indian Reservation. This young lady right here is my wife. Almost 8 years now we've been married, and it's been a wonderful 8 years. I love her. Thank God for her. Her name is April Lambert. This young man standing right here, his name is Lee Worley. He's 20 years old, and he's from Hayesville, North Carolina. Nobody probably knows where Hayesville's at either. But that's another mountain town over there. And we're just going to sing for you a few more songs, and just hope that something that we sing tonight or something that we say will touch your heart. And you know, back in September, America found out that we weren't, you know, going to always be able to just live in a security zone and never anything happen here. We found out what it's like for a big disaster to happen. But you know what? As I watched all that stuff on TV that day, I had a God I could call on, and I knew that everything was going to be all right because I know God, and my God is in control. And that's what this song talks about. It says, how can you worry when God is on your side?
Where is your faith? And why are you doubting the one who has promised to meet every need? Whatever you face, if you're one of God's children, then you have deliverance from fear and defeat.
How can you worry with God on your side?
You're fighting now, so trust God. today. No matter what tempts you or rages against you, believe and don't doubt.
How can you worry with God on your side? He is your Father. He will provide.
He will not fail you when tested and tried.
How can
tell me
what should we fear?
How can you worry
with God on your side? He is your Father. He will provide.
He will not fail you when tested and tried.
How can
can be against us? No one. Amen.
Yes. When Stephen stood tall and did God's command, the people rebelled. They did not understand. But as his life slipped away from stone after stone, heaven's angels all cheered as Jesus stood by the throne. Now when I'm faced with a challenge, my heart almost fails as I feel the fiery darts from the demons of hell. Now with faith like old Stephen, I find love unknown as I see Jesus smile as he sits by the throne.
Jesus sits by the throne and he's praying for me, interceding that I might know sweet victory. Though your road may get rough, if you're one of his own, you can be of good cheer. Jesus sits by the throne.
Yes. Through the deep of the night, through the heat of the day, he is pleading my case, waiting grace for my way. Now the Father above always honors his Son, and what Jesus requests, the Father says it is done.
Well, Jesus sits by the throne and he's praying for me, interceding that I might know sweet victory. Though your road may get rough, if you're one of his own, you can be of good cheer. Jesus sits by the throne.
Though
I'm so glad tonight that I can stand here and tell you that my sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
wretched and vile as could be. I had reached desperation, for tomorrow no hope could I see. I went to the master, he took me just as I was. With love and compassion, he put my sins under the blood.
Under the blood, my sins are hidden, washed by the flood of the crimson river to the depths of the sea. Never to be remembered, my sins are under the blood.
Now Satan tries to remind me of the man I used to be. He brings up my past and all those dark memories. That's when I remind him I'm not the man that I was. Praise God, I'm forgiven, and my sins, they're all under the blood.
Under the blood, my sins are hidden, washed by the blood of the crimson river to the depths of the sea. Never to be remembered, my sins are under the blood.
Oh,
under the blood, my sins are hidden, washed by the flood of the crimson river to the depths of the sea. And never to be remembered, my sins are under the blood. My sins are under the blood.
Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ has saved me. I'm so thankful that he loved me and that he forgave me of my sins. And you know, it's our desire to tell people that there's hope in Jesus Christ. In Romans, it says, "For we see that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain." Well, not just they, but we ourselves, which have received the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan ourselves within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. I'm sure that all of us look around us and we see a world of pain. We see people who struggle with circumstances, and they certainly need Jesus Christ because he's the only hope. But we also know that even those of us who know Jesus Christ, we have problems. There are difficult circumstances that we face, and our hearts become broken sometimes. But you know, that verse says that we're waiting for something. We're waiting for the day when we'll be transformed from mortal to immortal, forever to be with the Lord, where there will never be any more regrets, no more heartache, no more pain. The Bible says that all those former things will pass away. I'm thankful that God has promised us a safe passage through this life to a safe place, a place called heaven. Some people say, what about today? But God's word tells us that his grace is sufficient for all our needs, that he will give a peace that passeth all understanding, that his strength will be made perfect in our weakness if we'll look to him and trust him. And I simply want you to be encouraged this evening that there is hope. And I want to share a very special song with you that tells a story that maybe you can relate to. But the main thing I want you to hear is the hope. It's entitled Another Tear.
She's lived her life, she's run her race, and she looks back on the years. A a tired smile comes to her face, streaked with lovely tears. This nursing home is not where she imagined she would ever be. The one she loves is gone, but it will not be long. She'll never cry another tear. She'll never face another fear. She might be lonely while she's here, but she's going home, where she'll never feel the sting of death or do anything that she regrets. All of her pain will disappear, and she'll never cry. From day to day, and find the road is rough. The ones we love may pass away, or times may just get tough. But time is quickly passing on. The life we know will soon be gone, but there's a home above where, thanks to Jesus, love. We'll never cry another tear. We'll never face another fear. We might be lonely while we're here, but we're going home,
have that promise tonight of no more tears one day when we get to heaven. It's nothing because nothing of what I've done, because there's nothing I could do to save myself. There's nothing I could do to get into that place where there'll be no more tears. It all happened because of Jesus and what Jesus did on that cross. And I just have one more song to sing you. It's a song about how much Jesus loves me. And if I had been the only one that would take salvation, he still would have went to Calvary. He would have walked every mile just for me.
He left them in the garden, and he went to pray alone. His followers were sleeping as he knelt before God's throne. In the sweetest of submission, bowing in Gethsemane, that prayer in the garden was for me. Betrayed by his disciple, for silver he was sold. And when the soldiers came to take him, he did not refuse to go. They led him to the trying place. He followed quietly, and every step he took was just for me. Just for me, they crucified the spotless Holy Lamb. Just for me, he bled and died so I could live again. Just for me, if I had been the only soul alive, still he would have died just for me. Millions chose to trust him as he went through history, but the Savior of this whole wide world cared enough for me to provide my soul salvation and to give me faith to see. And he's prepared a place in heaven. Just for me, they crucified the spotless Holy Lamb. Just for me, he bled and died so I could live again. Just for me, the only soul alive, still he would have died just for me. Jesus would have died just for me.
Man, you appreciate that? Amen. Bless your heart, guys. What a blessing. Enjoyed that. How about that youth choir at the beginning? Yeah, I'm kind of partial to that group of convicts. If you have your Bible, open it up with me, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Gospel of John, chapter 10. Thank you for praying for the pastor. I've known him a good while, and he's never sick. So it was very weird today when I went to the emergency room and him and Mom were sitting there waiting. I looked at him and I said, "You're not used to this, are you?" And he mumbled something at me. I didn't catch it all, but pray for him because he is really not feeling well at all. If he's not here, you know he's not feeling well. And I promise you, he's not a Rams fan at all, so that's not the reason he's gone. He's not the Super Bowl. Well, like Aaron, I found out on rather short notice that I was going to be speaking tonight. About 2 o'clock this afternoon, I learned that I was going to be preaching. So pray for me. But I want to share with you a thought that has ministered to my heart many times, and I pray will minister to you. John chapter 10, one verse of Scripture, verse 41. John chapter 10 and verse 41. The Word of God says, "And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true." The crowd testifies to Jesus and they said, "John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true." Let's pray, and for the next few minutes, I want to speak to you on this thought. You don't have to be a miracle worker. You don't have to be a miracle worker. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your grace. And I am thankful that if it had just been Terry, you still would have died. Your love is something we can never comprehend, but I'm thankful we can cling to. I pray tonight that you'll help me as I open your word. Lord, I need you. And I ask you to stand with me, preach through me, and I pray we will learn something tonight that will benefit us. Help us to be responsive to what you have to say, and we'll be sure that you get all the glory, because you alone are worthy. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I read about a big city hospital the other day that was expecting a visit from Pope John Paul II. And everybody in the hospital was excited because the Pope was coming to the hospital. But there was one doctor that day who was so busy that he didn't realize the Pope had arrived. He walked into the main area of the hospital carrying an armful of paperwork, and he sat down in a wheelchair so that he could look over some of his notes. Well, about that time, the Pope swept in, and he saw the man sitting in the wheelchair, so he turned and he blessed him. Well, of course, the man in the wheelchair jumped to his feet. Well, all the people in the Pope's entourage began to ooh and ah and bow in reverence because of what they thought was a miracle. Well, I think I'm safe to say tonight there are no miracle workers in this building. Most of us are just your everyday, ordinary people. We can't tell the future or heal the sick or raise the dead or program our VCRs or do anything really amazing. We're just regular people, aren't we? The good news tonight is this: God uses regular people. You don't have to be a miracle worker. In John chapter 10 and verse 41, there's a group of people that begin to offer up a commentary, if you will, on the life of John the Baptist. And they say, "John didn't do any miracles, but everything that John told us about Jesus was true." Now there you have it in one simple sentence, the entire summary of John's life. Very concise. In one sentence. To somebody who would be reading through this chapter and just the casual observer, they might make the mistake of thinking that John's life was not very special. But the more we look at the life of this man who did no miracles, the more we realize that John's life was very special. There's three things that I see when I look at the life of John the Baptist. And I want to share them with you tonight, and I promise I'll be as brief as possible. When we look at John the Baptist, the first thing we see is this: no miracles, just a lofty mission. No miracles, just a lofty mission. No, John didn't heal people or turn water into wine. But that doesn't mean that John's life was without purpose. So many times people find themselves wondering, why am I here? What is my reason for existence? What did God put me here for? And some people even get to the point where they begin to believe that their life has no purpose. Well, I've told the young people before, there are no meaningless lives. There are only lives that have missed out on their meaning. Understand tonight, church, each one of us, you and I, have a purpose that God has given us for existing. We have a reason to be here. And I believe that the majority of people who occupy a church pew would be extremely surprised if they knew just how important and how vital their purpose in this world is. John had a lofty mission. What was it, and what does it mean to you and I? I want you to notice a couple of things about John's lofty mission. Notice, first of all, that it was John's mission to prepare people for Christ. Now, when God was handing out purposes and he chose John's, it was not a miraculous purpose, but you better believe it was a meaningful purpose. The New Testament introduces us to John the Baptist, and it tells us that John is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Literally, he was sent to that particular time in history, to that particular place in the world, to prepare people for the appearance of the Messiah. So what did John do? John went out in the wilderness, outside the city of Jerusalem, and he began to preach. And by the way, I believe John actually preached. I don't think he played around like some of these fellas do behind a pulpit. I believe he was a preacher. Do you? Well, I guarantee you. John went in the wilderness and began to preach, and what happened when he actually leapt back and preached? People began to flood out of the city to come find out what John had to say. Now, when people got there, what they heard was a message of preparation. John preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Yeah. Everybody came out to see what was going on with John the Baptist. You see, John was a unique character, wasn't he? Something special and different about John the Baptist, and people came to see what it was. Now, you may not realize it tonight, but you and I are a lot like John the Baptist. Thank God we don't wear camel skin suits and we don't eat grasshoppers and drink honey. But our mission is the same. Yeah. You see, part of the reason you as a born-again child of God are placed here is so that you can prepare people for Jesus Christ. Unlike John, it is not through our preaching, but rather through our practice that we prepare people for Jesus Christ. Say, what do you mean? I believe that how you live your life will the majority of the time determine whether or not you will have the opportunity to share with someone the story of Jesus Christ. You see, John was unique. John was different. So people came out to see this unique and this different fella, and when they got there, they heard about Jesus. I believe that if you live your life the way that the Holy Spirit of God intends for you to live your life, you will be different. Can I get a witness? And then when you are different, people will see that, will they not? And I have yet to find someone who sees that difference in the world and doesn't come running to it to find out what it is that separates you from the rest of the miserable human beings walking the face of this earth. What is that joy that seems to permeate from your life? That, my friends, is preparing people for Jesus Christ. Because when they come running, then you have the opportunity to say, "Oh, let me tell you about my joy. Let me tell you about my smile." You see, John's job was to get people ready for the Messiah. In many ways, we have that same job. But don't you know something else about John's lofty mission? We see not only that John's mission was to prepare people for Christ, we see also that it was to point people to Christ. Now, do you know what John said when he saw Jesus? It's very simple. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Now, John wasn't interested in people seeing John. He was interested in people seeing Jesus. John was not a miracle worker. He just pointed people to the miracle worker. Now, John's position on earth and his performance on earth was completely directed at bringing people to a place where they could see Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder how many of you have seen these signs. And I know what you know. I know you know what I'm talking about because they're everywhere. They're shaped like an arrow. And they go kind of like this. And then many times there's lights inside the arrow that light up and go along the arrow. And then usually underneath the arrow is some kind of message. Eat at Joe's or Georgia Lotto sold here. See, I know a bunch of you have seen them. Say amen. Now, those signs serve a unique purpose because they draw attention to themselves. People see them, but the whole time people are looking at those signs are actually pointing them in a different direction. You may not realize it tonight, and as silly as it sounds, you and I should be like those signs. The whole time somebody is looking at you and I, we ought to be pointing them to somebody else. Every time they see us, they ought to see us pointing them to Jesus. And the message in our life should say, look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. John's job was to point people to Christ. John's mission was a lofty one because John pointed people to the lofty one. John had a charge to keep. And John didn't try to point people to the Baptist denomination. And it's not our job to try to bring people into our little corner and faction of the Church of Jesus Christ. Our job is to point people to Jesus and let Him handle the details of where they're going to go. It is our job to point people to Christ. You may be here this evening and you may feel like your life has very little meaning. I beg to differ with you. I want you to know you have a lofty mission. Just like John, you've been sent to earth for a purpose. You have a lofty mission, the mission of preparing and pointing people to Jesus Christ. Say amen. Amen. You say, but Brother Terry, I'm no miracle worker. That's okay. You don't have to be a miracle worker. John did no miracles. When we look at John, first of all, we see no miracles, just a lofty mission. But notice the second thing. When we look at John, we see also no miracles, just a lasting ministry. No miracles, just a lasting ministry. John never performed any miracles, but John's life meant a great deal to the people who were around him. I wonder tonight, what will they say about you when you're gone? How will your eulogy sound? Here's John's eulogy. He didn't do any miracles, but everything he told us about Jesus was true. John's eulogy is short, but it's far from simple. John had a lasting ministry. I want you to notice a couple of things about John's ministry and how it relates to you and I. First of all, John had a powerful impact. John never healed anybody, but he helped many. John never fed 5,000 with a small lunch, but he filled the hearts and lives of everyone who came in contact with him. You see, John lived the kind of life that impacted the people around him. You didn't get around John that he didn't leave an impression on you, because John lived a life that had a powerful impact. Fact is, the people that are in this verse, it says, and many resorted unto him there. This large group of people are people who had followed John and had been influenced by John. Two of the 12 disciples, before they followed Jesus, followed John. You see, John had a powerful impact. What was John's secret? Understand me tonight, John didn't have any superpowers. John just had a special passion. John lived and breathed for the ministry that God had sent him to this earth to fulfill. John lived and breathed for the mission that God had given to him. I wonder what kind of impact you're having on the people around you in your world. I wonder if people who know you and work with you and live around you are challenged and changed by the kind of life you live. Or are you just another face in the crowd of life? After serving the Lord for 15 years in Pakistan, missionary Warren Webster was invited to speak at one of the most prestigious mission conferences in all of the United States. Part of what he said that day, I love. Warren Webster addressed this huge crowd, and this is what he said. If I had to live my life over again, I would live it to change the lives of other people. Because you have changed nothing until you've changed the lives of others. I wonder, could it be said of you after you're gone that you had a powerful impact, that everyone around you was in some way touched and transformed by the kind of person you were? That's what they said about John, and John was no miracle worker. John had a powerful impact. He was just an average person who accepted a lofty mission and ended up with a lasting ministry. That's encouraging to someone like me, because I got to be honest with you, I can't do any miracles. I'm just a regular person. But John teaches me that I, as a regular Joe, can live a life that has a powerful impact. Not only do you see in John's lasting ministry that he had a powerful impact, but you see also that he had a permanent influence. Dr. John Getty went to the mission field in 1848 and served faithfully there for 24 years. After Dr. Getty left, the people of the land that he had ministered to erected a monument in his honor. This is what the monument said. When he landed in 1848, there were no Christians. When he left in 1872, there were no heathens. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that long after regular old Terry is gone, I can leave a lasting impression. I can leave a lasting influence on the people in my world. That's the way that John lived. I wonder tonight, if I ask this question, who won the 1981 World Series? The truth of the matter is, very few, if any, could answer that question. Who led the NBA in scoring in 1980? Very few, if any, could answer that question. Who was the Speaker of the House in 1979? Very few could answer that question. But what if I were to say, who led you to the Lord? I can see people begin to pop up all over the auditorium and say, well, it was my mom. Well, it was my grandmother. It was a dear old Sunday school teacher. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you understand what I mean? John lived a life that long after he was buried and gone, people were influenced by his ministry. Long after he had passed and his memory was gone from the world stage, Christians were changed by what he had done. John was not a miracle worker, but he had a magic way with people. He lived a life that impacted and influenced others around him. Church, I want to say something to you, and I want you to hear me tonight. You don't have to be extraordinarily gifted to be spiritually great. Let me say that again. You don't have to be extraordinarily gifted to be spiritually great. Here's the key. Do you want to be spiritually great? Like John, do you want to have a powerful impact and a permanent influence? Here it is. Be willing to accept the lofty mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, but no, Brother Terry, I don't care. We don't need miracle workers. We need everyday people who are willing to rise above the norm and say, by the help and the grace of God, I'll do and be more than I ever have before. What will they say about you when you're gone? How will your eulogy read? Oh, John the Baptist was brief. Man, was it brilliant. There's a third and a final thing that I see when I look at John the Baptist. When I look at him, I see no miracles, just a lofty mission. I look again at John the Baptist and I see no miracles, just a lasting ministry. But I look at him a third time and I see no miracles, just the Lord's memorial. John wasn't a miracle worker. He never made it into the Hebrew Hall of Fame. He didn't leap small buildings or tall buildings in a single bound. John never got into Jerusalem's People magazine. The truth of the matter is, the world probably never honored John the Baptist. But can I tell you, that really didn't matter, because John the Baptist was memorialized in a way that surpasses any publicity this world could offer. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 28. My, look at all the dust in the building. What's that from, Gary? Luke chapter 7, verse 28. Listen to what Jesus had to say about John the Baptist, the man who did no miracles. For I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. How's that for a memorial? How's that for being remembered and eulogized? The Lord Himself steps forward and He says, of all the prophets that have lived and died on the face of this earth, there has never been a greater prophet than regular old non-miracle working John. Say amen. Oh, that's encouraging to me. I want you to notice a couple of things about the Lord's memorial of John. Notice first of all that we see Christ's obvious pleasure. Now, the truth of the matter is this. I don't care how good, and how many of you know this, because I think you learn it as you grow up. I don't care how good you are, sugar cream sweet you are. Not everybody's going to like you. Say amen. Not everybody loved John. Not everybody was a member of the John the Baptist fan club. John was not appreciated by everyone. Herod's wife had it in for John. Herod's daughter was in the boat against John. Not everybody loved John, and not everybody appreciated John. But can I tell you something? It mattered very little what the rest of the world thought about John once Jesus opened his mouth and said what he said about the Baptist. Oh, it didn't matter one iota what anybody else had to say about the ministry of John the Baptist. The one he was ministering for had spoken. He said there's never been a greater prophet than John. Think about that. What an unbelievable statement. And this is encouraging when you think about it. You look through the Old Testament at all the great prophets of God who came on the scene. The dynamic duo of Elisha and Elijah who prayed down fire on Mount Carmel and healed the sick and raised the dead and gave that woman enough ingredients to make cornbread for a lifetime. Made an axe head float. You think about Jonah. Jonah survived 3 days worth of whale stomach acid and was puked up on shore and lived to tell about it. Now that's pretty amazing, isn't it? All the mighty works that were wrought by all the prophets, yet Jesus gazes beyond all their array and of miracles, and he sees a man who did no miracles. And he says, that guy, the regular guy, the John that worked no miracles, is the greatest prophet that has ever lived. Oh, that encourages me, because I don't have all the gifts and I don't have all the abilities and I can't wow people with my talents and my skills. But a regular old guy named John got the master of the universe to say he was the greatest. John did no miracles. You don't have to be a miracle worker to please God. All you have to be is obedient. I don't know about you, but I'm glad it doesn't take super people to bring the praise and pleasure of Jesus Christ. All it takes is submitted people. That means I can do it. That means I can please Him with my life. We see not only in the memorial of John the Baptist Christ's obvious pleasure, we see further Christ's open praise. John got in a lot of trouble and suffered a lot because of his work for the Lord. Spent a lot of time in prison. And eventually he lost his head. But in my imagination, I've got to believe that it was worth it all the day John heard what Jesus had to say. And I have many times imagined that scene in my head. John sent some disciples to go talk to Jesus. John's stuck in an old, nasty, dark, damp prison cell, discouraged and depressed. And he sends them out there to ask them, are you really the Messiah? And that's where we find our scene in Luke 7 where Jesus says this about John. And I can imagine them, the word gets back to John in prison. He's sitting over in the corner of his cell, discouraged. And they say, listen to what Jesus said about you, John. And I can see that old hard, callous, fiery prophet's lip begin to quiver. And a tear come out of his eye and he says, he said that about me? What did he say again? Tell me again. And then a few minutes later, what exactly did he say again? I got a feeling nothing else anybody had ever said about him mattered a bit once he heard that Christ had openly said to him, you're the greatest prophet ever. Oh, I tell you something, church. Serving Jesus won't ever bring you fortune and fame. But I tell you what it will bring you. One day it will afford you the opportunity to stand in front of Jesus Christ and hear Him say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of heaven that I have prepared. I got to believe it was worth it all to hear the open praise of Jesus Christ. I got to believe the prison got a little brighter, a little warmer and a little drier when he knew that his Lord had openly commended his actions. Oh, one of these days, we're going to get to see him face to face. Oh, in this world, to get the praise of men, you've got to be somebody. Your name has to mean something. You must achieve some greatness or accomplish some wonderful feat before men will applaud you. But in the economy of God, all that is needed is a humble heart who's willing to do what the Savior commands. Oh, it's good to know we can have the praise and the pleasure of the Lord Jesus Christ on our lives. I wonder, do you recognize any of these names? Owen D. Young, Pierre Laval, U.S. Johnson, James F. Burns, or Harlow Curtis? Anybody here recognize any of them names? Well, you ought to. At one time or another, all these men were Time Magazine's Men of the Year. Celebrities in their day, but now forgotten. Oh, church, the praise and admiration of men is fleeting, but the praise of the bleeding Savior is forever. You know what the best part about it is? You don't have to be a miracle worker. Regular people can apply to get His praise and His pleasure. One of these days, when we get to glory, there's going to be a long line of regular people. And they're going to be standing in line to get crowns. Regular people like you and me who wrought no miracles, whose name was insignificant, whose life was normal, yet they achieved greatness through the work of God in their lives. You may be here tonight, friends, and you may feel like you don't have what it takes to do anything great for God. I don't have the name. I don't have the finances, the education, Brother Terry, to achieve anything that will matter in eternity. Before you say that, listen to what they said about John. John did no miracles, but everything John told us about Jesus was true. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful you don't have to be a miracle worker. Say amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as the musicians come and begin to play softly, I appreciate your attentiveness. My challenge tonight is very simple. Everyone has a place in the service of Jesus Christ. And serving Him consists of more than church attendance. Serving Him is you participating in His work. We all have been given the lofty mission of preparing people and pointing people to Jesus Christ. But maybe you're here and you know God has been leading you to serve Him. But you've sat on your pew and like Moses, you've argued with God and you've offered Him a bunch of excuses that you knew deep down in your heart He wouldn't accept. But you've told God, I'm not a great person. I'm not talented. I can't be this. I can't do that. Well, I want you to understand tonight, John the Baptist teaches us, you don't have to be a miracle worker. You don't have to have great skill and wonderful abilities and born talents to achieve greatness for Him. If that's you, you've sat on a pew and you've offered God excuses, tonight I ask you to do one simple thing. Get out of your seat, come down here and say, Lord, here I am as simple and as normal as I can be. Lord, I'm regular. I'm only natural. But I've come to let You do the supernatural through me. As they begin to sing, I don't want you to hesitate. If the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight, I want you to get out of your seat and come down to this altar. I'm going to pray in a minute after they've sang a verse, and then I'm going to turn it over to Aaron. But my challenge is simple. Be obedient to the Word of God. Sing it, Rick. As He sings, you don't hesitate. If the Lord spoke to you tonight, you be responsive. Come to the altar and say, Lord, I'm willing to do what You've called me to do. As they sing.